Okay, Ramosa, Daf Chav Vav in Sukkah is today's Daf, and we're here at the bottom of Chav Hei Mabeis, two lines up, Tana Rabbanan. We have been talking about things like Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, Mitzdayer, Potter Min HaSukkah, we're going to touch on today. So another Daf that is chock full of Hilchos Sukkah, very Halacha L'maisa. And again, we really probably won't do it justice, but let's definitely learn it. And we can jump off from there to learn further. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in our Braisa, Chasen v'ashashvinen v'chol b'nei chopa v'turim min ha-tvila u'min ha-tvila v'chayev b'kriyashma. Right, we just talked about the chiyav of kriyashma recently, with certain people who are potter, right, a chasen, etc. So this Tana says that a chasen and the people taking care of him and everybody involved in the wedding, right, all the guests, they're potter from tvila and tvilin and chayev in kriyashma. So it says, interesting, Rashi explains here, right, if debay kavana, since tefillah and tefillin tefillah requires kavana, tefillin is a problem, you can't have kalas rosh, you really shouldn't have any light-headed thoughts or discussions while wearing tefillin. Halavai, that should be true for us, but certainly people at a wedding, right, is gonna, if you look Rashi, right, the shchicha shichrus, right, it's very common for people to drink at a wedding and have a good time and kind of be lightheaded. They shouldn't be wearing tefillin, but they're chayiv in kriyashma. Why? Because the mitzvah is kavanasa and ela pasuk rishon. Because the mitzvah to have kavana, the ikur mitzvah to have kavana kriyashma, is to have kavana for the first pasuk, and people can chill for six seconds, right, to say the first pasuk. Rishu Rabbi Shila, Amru Rabbi Shila says the chasen pater v'ashashvini chol b'nei chol b'chayavin. Rabbi Shila says it's the chasen who's pater. Everybody else at the wedding is chayiv. In Kriyashma, and Rashi points out here because Rabbi Shila disagrees, and he says that the chasen is tarud, right? He's obviously preoccupied with what is going to happen after the wedding, so he does not say Kriyashma. Rashi, interestingly enough, says that these Tanaim disagree and do not hold to the concept of Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, meaning they hold that specifically Tefillah, Tefillin, and Kriyashma, those are specific examples that they do not hold of. Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, these are specific because they require kavana, or because of tefillin, because they have kalas rosh, etc. Tosos does not like that and asks a bunch of questions on it, right? Check it out, right? The Rishonim have a very unclear why Rashi would make such a suggestion. Okay, that's something you should be aware of. Okay. Tanya Melon de Rabbeisa. Amar Avichanani ben Akavia, Kosveit, Svarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, Hein, V'tagrein, V'tagrein, Tegrein. Well, let's explain what that is, right? Sofer Stam, right? Sofer Stam, people who write Svarim and Tefillin and Mezuzos, right? Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, right? Sofer Stam, Hein V'Tagreim, them and the sellers, V'Tagrei Tagreim, and then the retailers, V'Chol Oskim B'Malachas Shemayim, everybody is doing in this type of, right, Malacha for Mitzvos, for Yiras Shemayim, Lasuye Mokri Techelas, even anybody selling Techelas, Paturim and Kriyashma and Tefillin and Tefillin, but Mekala Mitzvahs and Moritz B'Torah, right? They are Pater from other Mitzvahs, right? They're dealing with a Mitzvah, they are Pater from other Mitzvahs, the Kayim Divir Rabbi Yosei Glili, Shai Rabbi Yosei Glili, Omer Osuk B'Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, right? We talked about it yesterday, right? So those cases, if you're working on Sofer Stam, or even someone who's selling Tefillin, selling Techelas, right, anybody involved in the mitzvah is pater from other mitzvahs. Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Hol Chedrachim Bayom Paturim Min HaSukkah. People who are traveling during the day are pater from Sukkah. If you look at Rashi, Hol Chedrachim Bayom, if it's four lines down, right, Dechtiv Basukos Teishu Kein Yeshivas Beso. We're going to see today, Teishu Kein Tadiru. You have to live in your Sukkah like you live in your house. And just like the rest of the year, Rashi says, I'm just paraphrasing, just like the rest of the year, Rashi says, a person's not going to refrain from going on a trip. Here he adds the word b'schora, to do business. Right? It seems to be a business trip that we're talking about. So too, yontif, well, not yontif, but on Chol HaMoed, right, as long as you have the certain conditions available, right, right, it's not necessarily mutter just to do business on Chol HaMoed. You have to have certain, has to be, let's say, for example, devra aved, something you may lose out on. Okay, but either way, a business trip, during the day, he's pater from the sukkah bayom during the day. Vechayavin, says the Braisa, balayla, but once he's done, right, he is chayiv at night. Hochedrachim balayla, if you're traveling at night, so then pater min sukkah balayla, vechayavin bayom. And on the flip side, if you're traveling at night for business, but you're not traveling during the day, so then you're chayiv during the day. Hochedrachim bayom balayla, if you're taking a, if you're going on a, flight to Australia or whatever, so then, both day and night you're traveling, so then pater min sukkah bayom balayla, then you're pater in both scenarios. Hochelin Dvar Mitzvah, but this is a little bit different. If you're going to traveling for a mitzvah, Paturim Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, regardless then you are putter, regardless of what day, when in the day, you're putter straight up across the bat, right? Ozik b'mitzvah putter, min ha-mitzvah. They were going on Yotzef, they were going to see the Rish Galusa, and Abu Gano Araka the Sura, right, they would sleep on the riverbank of Sura, and they would say, Amri, and they would say, Anishlucha Mitzvah, Anon Uptiran, we're going to do a mitzvah, or traveling to see our Rebbe, to hear Shir, whatever, and they were. Okay, Tanar Bana with another Brisa. Shomri Ha'ir Bayom. If someone is watching the city, right, policeman, officer, whatever, someone's watching the city during the day, Ptura Minasuka Bayom, Chayvim Balayla, he's Chayv at night if he's right when he's not working. Same thing with the flip side, Shomri Ha'ir Balayla, Ptura Minasuka Balayla, Chayvim Bayom, right? The night watchman is Pater at night, but during the daytime when he's not working, he's Chayv in Sukkah. Shomri Ha'ir Bayom Bayom Balayla, if he's got for whatever reason a 24 hour shift, so then Ptura Minasuka Bayom Bayom Balayla, right? He's Pater in all scenarios. Right, that's he's Potter. Okay. Shomei Gadus or Pardesin. Let's say someone is being paid to wash a field. So Pturim Bein Bayon Bein Balayla. They are Potter regardless. The Gemara asked, if he loved the Sukkah, so I don't understand if they're just sitting there washing the field, so make a Sukkah and let him sit there. So the Gemara says, Hasan Vilaytvu. Let them make a sukkah there and sit in it. So Abaye says, Teshu Kain Daduru. Rabbi says, no, there's a concept of living in your sukkah just like you live in your house. Just like you go out to the shepherd or the guy watching the field is not living like he lives at home. It's not, I would imagine it's not terribly comfortable over there. Right? He's getting paid for his work, but it's not like he's living at home, so you're supposed to live like you live at home, and that's not possible when you're out in the field, right, for, I don't know, 8-10 hours, whatever it is, so that you're going to be potter. Rava says, no, pirza kora leganav. The reason is because if you have a three-walled sukkah, so, and you're watching a field, right, that is presumably all around you, right, so you're missing some of the action, right? The leganav can just sneak behind you and take whatever he wants. So that doesn't work out. My Benai, who, what's the difference between these two answers? So Yigi Benai, to got Minter Karya de Peri. Let's say he's just watching a pile of fruit, i.e., the produce that he's watching is only through one side of the sukkah. Meaning, one thing, if you're sitting in the sukkah, if you're watching a field, it's all around. But if you, the produce you're watching or the stuff you're watching is directly in front of you, so okay, so according to Rava, you could make a three-walled sukkah and still be watching the stuff you're paid to be watching. According to Abaye, Teshu Kain Daduru, right? That's still not living like you would live in your house, and then he would be potter. Okay, Cholim Umisham Sheim, we said sick people and people who are helping, the nurses or whatever, people helping out the sick person are potter from sukkah. Tanu Rabbanan, we'll end the Raisa. Cholusha Amru Lo Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, Alafilu Chol Sheim Bo Sakana. We're not here, we're not even dealing with someone who has a real serious illness. Even someone who doesn't have any illness, there's no danger whatsoever. He's sick. He's stump sick. Afilu chash beinav, even if he has a headache. Afilu chash barosho, well, I guess an eye ache or a headache. Right? Even if he has that, so then he is potter from eating in the sukkah. Amar Rishim Gamliel, Rishim Gamliel said, right? Pam achas chashdi beinai, once my eyes bothered me, bekesari, and I was in Caesarea. Behiter Rav Yossi Beribi, lishen ani umishamesh. And Rabbi Yossi Beribi is a very fascinating illustration of what Beribi means in Rashi. He says, where is that? He says, Yossi Hachacham Charif Shebadoro. He was Yossi Hachacham, almost like you can imagine, like a Sephardi, they call a Sephardi rabbi, a Hachacham. So a Hachacham Yossi, I don't know if he was Sephardi, but I'm just imagining, right? You can kind of like use a context to see what Rashi was talking about. Charif Shebadoro. Nowadays, that means the most Charif, intense. Could be that that's not what it meant then, but it could be a sharp, right? The most, you can imagine, almost like a Sephardi Chacham, right? The Gadol Dor, the Rav HaRashi, who was very sharp and very Charif and very, either way, he was a big Gadol, Tachlis. He said, but Rav Shimon Gamliel says that he was allowed to sleep out of the Sukkah because his eyes hurt, right? So you see that's the gather. Of Mitztair Pater Menasoka. Rav allowed La Rav Acha Bardala to Rav Acha Bardala the Mikna Bekilsa Basukkah to sleep in some sort of canopy in the Sukkah Mishum Baki because of the bugs, some sort of like mosquito net or something that was mutter. Rav Shara, because otherwise it would be Mitztair, right? Not because it's a canopy or bed that we're talking about, right? We're talking about like a mosquito net because otherwise it would be Mitztair. Rava Shara Leila Rabbi Acha Bar Ada, Rava allowed Rav Acha Bar Ada, the Mikna Bar Mitalasa, to sleep outside of the talasa of the sukkah, mishum sircha de gargishta, because of the smell, right? If you look at Rashi, karka levana had some sort of white dirt, shayatachin bakarkais sukkah that was on the floor of the sukkah, and it smelled bad. Didn't we learn earlier in the Masechta, like a couple of weeks ago, that you build a sukkah with bad smelling things, it's no good, right? It's a dira srucha, it's disgusting, you can't sleep there. So Pasha says that either Rav Acha bar Ada, was a guest, and he didn't build the sukkah, and apparently maybe other people were not bothered by such a smell, and he was, let's say, finicky or something, or it could be that maybe it didn't smell, and then perhaps there was some sort of other external factor that caused the ground to smell. Okay, either way, but you have to come up with some sort of case where it wasn't technically a pasul sukkah. Rav Tamei, and this is Rav Shita, Damar Rav Mitzar Pater Min HaSukkah. Sure enough, right, this is Rav Shita, who says that someone who's Mitzar, right, he does not need to sleep in the sukkah. Ivan and Tzab, but didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Cholin and Misham Shem, Turim in the sukkah? Or didn't we learn in our Mishnah that people who are sick and people who serve them are putter from sukkah? Implying that Cholin mitz dialo, that the level you need to be putter from the sukkah is that you have to be mamash sick. You can't just be upset or annoyed or right, in quote-unquote pain. So the Gemara says, Amri, cholahu mishamshav paturin, mitzdarhu pater mishamshav lo. And the point that the Mishnah was trying to make was not that it's a chola, yes, is pater, but a mitzdar is not pater. The point it was trying to make was about the shoshvin of the people helping out, not shoshvin, the mishamshav, the people helping out the chola. Only a chola's, let's say, nurse is going to be pater from sukkah as well, but someone who's mitzdar, right, their, let's say, servants are not mitzdar, are not pater from the sukkah, just because their master is, you know, has a headache. Okay. Ochlem achilas harai chutz l'sukkah. You can have some sort of a snack outside of the sukkah. V'kama achilas harai. How much is that? Amar Yosef tarti otlas bay. Two or three kibbutzim. Amar le'abaye. Abaye said, whoa, that's a lot of food. V'azin in sigi and sagi le'inish b'achi. Right? Sometimes that's enough for a person to eat. Right? Two or three kibbutzim. Again, we're talking about bread. We're not talking about overall amount of food. Two or three kibbutzim of food is a decent amount of food. So v'havale sudas keva. Right? That could be a real meal for people. So el amar le'abaye. Abaye says, k'detayim bar beirav v'ayo lekalo. The shear is the amount that a beirav, that a yeshiva student eats, and goes, Rashi said, baboker in the morning, right? Fascinating, right? You have the same concerns nowadays, right? Right? Rashi says, it's what the bokerim eat when they, in the morning, right, before they go to the Beis Medrash, because maybe shir will drag on, and they'll get hungry. It's fascinating, right? You go get it, you grab your coffee, you grab your muffin, right? You go to the Beis Medrash at, you know, let's say 9 o'clock, like it was for me, and you know, maybe shir will go a while, right? You don't get something to eat. So that was the shir. That was the amount that Abaye said you could eat outside of the sukkah. Right, fascinating that that's still kind of like a thing nowadays. Okay, Tana Rabbanan with another brisa. Ochlan echilis arechos the sukkah. You can have you can eat some sort of right snack outside of the sukkah. Vein yishen yishudas arechos the sukkah. But you cannot take a nap outside of the sukkah. This is, I think, at least in my experience, is an underrated halacha, right? There's just as much of a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah as there is to eat in the sukkah. Now, this is not necessarily so relevant in chutz la'aretz, because very often, let's say I grew up in New York, very often it's too cold to sleep in the sukkah. Although this year, tachas, right, sukkah is very early. It could be, you know, if you've never slept in the sukkah, so maybe you want to take that opportunity, right? It could be that it won't be so cold outside. Okay, other people maybe are not, maybe if you live in a place that's not safe to sleep in the sukkah, so people don't do it. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big thing to sleep in the sukkah. So we see here that sleeping in the sukkah is almost more, not more chamor, but it's you know, treated certainly with the same amount of seriousness as eating. And akdekach, where you're allowed to eat a snack outside of the sukkah, but you're not allowed to nap outside of the sukkah because you have a chiyuv to sleep in the sukkah. Kamar says, my time. Oh, what's the reason? Amar Rav Ashi, gzeres shema yiradim, because by sukkah, by taking a nap, right? There's a more of a concern by taking a nap as opposed to eating a snack. There's much more of a possibility that if a person takes a short nap, it'll lead to a long nap and it'll lead to a diras a shenas keva. Which would be a problem because you're not allowed to sleep, do a shenas keva, permanent sleep or serious sleep outside of the sukkah. So if you kind of lie down for a second and put your head down, so that could lead to weird things. When you have a snack, you have an apple, that doesn't necessarily lead to a three-course meal, and that's why you can have a snack but not take a nap outside of the sukkah, because one will lead to a more serious action and one will not. I'm going to buy it, but he said, Tanya, 1 second, when the Raisa, Yoshin Adam Shinas Arabi Tefillin, person is allowed to doze off and take a nap in his tefillin, Avoshinas Keva, but he's not allowed to take a permanence, right? He's not allowed to sleep permanently. So that halacha is, as we'll see, I guess we have to explain now, is that because we're concerned that maybe a person won't pass gas and then it won't be appropriate to be wearing tefillin. In that case, right, that's very also a serious halacha that perhaps doesn't get as much publicity. That person's not allowed to wear tefillin if, let's say, he's going to pass gas, if he has a stomachache, whatever. Certainly, if he falls asleep for a long time, well, you have that real contention. The problem is, we see that here we're not concerned that you may sleep longer. You're allowed to take a nap in your tefillin, and you're not allowed. Even though you're not allowed to take a long sleep in your tefillin, so Gemara says, "Lechus shema yiradim." Why aren't we concerned by tefillin that you may fall asleep and sleep longer? So Rav Yosef, Brei de Rav Yilai, b'mosar shenaso la'cherim. It has to be a case where you told someone else to wake you up, right? You gave your sleep over to someone else. The Gemara says, "Maskevider of Mesharshia, arveich arvatzarech." What do you mean? Well, if it's, let's say, you give your, you know, you're ever in the base medrash and you kind of put your head down and you tell your chavrusa, wake me up in 5 minutes, and all of a sudden 2 hours later you see both of you have your head down. So yeah, sometimes if you tell the guy to wake you, right, he's going to need someone to wake him, right? That doesn't always necessarily work. So really, what's the reason you can take a nap and fill in not in a sukkah, outside the sukkah? We're talking about when you put your head between your knees and between your legs. That's obviously very uncomfortable, so it's very unlikely that you will pass out for a long period of time. Rava says, Ein keva leshina. He says there is no keva, meaning there is no different levels of sleep. Meaning, what Rava is saying is that even if you put your head down for a couple of minutes, right, ever take a power nap and feel unbelievably refreshed, right, sometimes when I take a nap for 10 minutes, I feel better than when I take a nap for 2 hours. Right, so there is no such thing, says Rava. He attacks the premise completely. And he says there is no such thing as a shinas arai. He said every sleep has the status of a permanent keva type sleep, and therefore you can't sleep at all outside of the sukkah. Okay, now that we mentioned tefillin, so we go back to that for a second. Tanichada, one brisa said that Yashem Adam Tefillin Shinas Arayev Lo Shinas Keva. A person allowed to take a nap in his tefillin, but not a long sleep. Tani Idach, another brisa says Ben Keva Ben Arai. A person allowed to take any type of sleep in his tefillin. But Tani Idach, and a third brisa says Lo Keva V'Lo Arai. He's not allowed to sleep at all in his tefillin. So the Gemara says Lo Kasha. Right, there's no problem because they're talking about three different cases. Ha Dinakadu Abayade. Where the case when it's talking about you're not even allowed to put it to sleep at all is when you're holding the tefillin in your hand, and the concern here is that you may drop them if you fall asleep. The case where you're allowed to take a small nap but not a deep one is when you're you have the tefillin on your head. Again, because we're not concerned that you're going to fall into a deeper sleep for whatever reason, right? That we mentioned before. The third one is the part of sudra ilave, is where you took your tefillin off and you put a sudra, you put a handkerchief on it. So in that case, you can sleep whatever you want, right? Even though the tefillin is next to you, right? You're allowed to sleep however long you want. Okay, the kama shenis arai, how do you define, again, this is against Rava, right? Rava said there is no difference between shenis arai and shenis keva, but assuming that there is, so how do you define a nap? So tari rami bar yecheskal kadeh hiluch mea amo. The amount of time it takes to walk 100 amos, that's not very long, right? An amo is about a foot and a half, depending on how you hold, so that's about 150 feet. Right, that's about a minute or two. Right, that's not a lot. Tanya Mihachi, also in there, right? So Hayashim Mitzvillin Vora Kari. This is the end of the Bryce is going to be our Tanya Namihachi, that we learned this as well. So the Bryce starts off and says if someone's sleeping in his tefillin, right, and all of a sudden he feels some sort of seminal emission, so Ochez Beritzua, Veino Ochez Beritzisa, Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, he has to take off the tefillin by the straps and not by the boxes. The boxes are a kedusha, but the straps are Tashmisha kedusha, so you have to take off the strap through the straps and not through the boxes itself. The Chachamim say Yashin Adam Betfilin Shinas Arayev Alo Shinas Keva. The Chachamim say a person can take a short nap with a tefillin, but not a permanent nap. And this is exactly what we wanted to point out. How long is a short nap? That's the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amos. Amar Rav, Rav says Asur Ladam Lishen Biyom Yoser Mishinas Asus. Irrespective of tefillin, now once we're talking about sleeping, let's talk about sleeping. Rav says it's Asur for a person to sleep during the day longer than the sleep of a horse. What is that? What does that mean? As we'll define, we'll do it in a second, but we'll first explain why not. What a fascinating Rashi says, Mishon Bittel Torah. Person shouldn't waste his time. Right? Bittul Torah, right? Person has an obligation to learn Torah, right? Figure out your sleeping schedule and at night and get enough sleep so you don't have to fall asleep in the middle of the day. And then be productive, right? Go learn. And then, right, go work, go learn, etc. But Bittul Torah, right? You shouldn't sleep during the day more than the sus sleeps, a horse. V'kamashinas hasus, how much is that? So, shisin nishmi, 60 breaths. Now, the question is whether that's human breaths or horse breaths. That's already talked about in the Achronim. I don't remember exactly what the shear is. Amar Abaye says, Shnati Demar Kedirav, the Shnasi Demar, the sleep of my master, meaning Rabba, his master Rabba, who adopted him. So it was like the sleep of Rab, Kedirav Kerebi, and Rab slept as long as Rebbe, Rebbe Kedavid, and Rebbe slept like David did, and David Kedisusa, and Rabbi, David slept like a horse, with Azusia, and the amount of horse sleeps, again, she's in Nishmi, takes 60 breaths. Again, horses sleep standing up. So Pasha says they don't really sleep, they nap. Okay, fine. Okay, one second, sorry. Abaye have a name kedim ma'ail mi pumbadisa lebe kovi. Abaye would sleep like the, meaning presumably at daytime. It doesn't say, naim is usually days off, dozes off, right? That means he would take a nap. He would doze off like the amount of time it takes to go from pumbadisa to be kovi. And corollary of Yosef, and Yosef called him, meaning he said the pasuk is about Abaye, meaning ad matai atzel tishkav, matai takum mishni nascha, right? He basically called him a bum, right? Basically, right? How long will you sleep? Someone who's atzel literally means someone who's lazy, right? When will you get up for your sleep? Pash says that's a very long time. What's it called? Rashi says over here, mefresh b'makam achar, that was shisim parsi. Shisim parsi, six parses is a massive distance. Right, that's six. Each what's the math? Each parsa is 4 mil. So that's 24 mil. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil. That's a lot. That's like 6.5 hours. Ballpark, dude. What's 24 times 18? That's a long time. And obviously, we just learned that you should not sleep much during the day. And that's why, presumably, why Rav Yosef called Abaye, right, called him out on it, and called him, said, well, you should wake up or at least figure out your sleeping schedule. I assume he didn't sleep much at night. But obviously, I can't imagine he would sleep the same amount at night. Okay, fine. Tamar Barulah the Raisa. Hanechnas liyashin bayom rotzacholitz rotzameinach. If a person wants to go take a nap during the day, he wants to sleep during the day, so if he wants, he can take off his tefillin. Otherwise, he could leave it on, right? Presumably because he's going to be careful not to sleep too long, not to sleep as shinas keva. But balayla, but if he's going to sleep at night, so then cholitz veinu maniach, then he should take his tefillin off and not leave them on, right, divrei Rabbi Nasan, right, because it's very obviously very likely that you will fall into a deep, permanent sleep. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, hayiladim la'olam cholitzin veinu manichim v'pnei shurgilim betumah. The yaladim, now this doesn't mean, now, if you look at Rashi, it doesn't mean little kids, it means bachurim. It means young men, the bachur, right? So the issue is, again, the Gemara here assumes that we're talking about bachurim, or young men, right, going through puberty. So they're concerned, right? Regilim betumah, what does it mean, regilim betumah? As Rashi says, kazakadaitach, at this point, the Gemara thinks, shema yiro keri, we hear her matzi shabam, right? Very often, going through puberty, so very often young men will have some sort of inappropriate thoughts. So Rabbi Yossi says that the bachrim should always take off their tefillin and not leave them on when they go take a rest. Lema kasar Rabbi Yossi valkari asr laniach tefillin. Is Rabbi Yossi saying that someone who's valkari is not allowed to wear his tefillin? Tamar Abaye says no. We're misunderstanding what the case is. The case is bi'ilad minu shosemi mayim askinan. Right. We're talking about a case where the bachrim are married, right, and their wives are there, shamevoli dehergo davar, because we're concerned that maybe they will end up sleeping with their wives with the tefillin on. Now, the Gemara is going to, I'll just explain in a second. Tamar Bar Melinda Rabbeisa, sure enough, shachach v'shimash shamesh mitazo b'tefillin. The person forgot and slept with his wife while wearing tefillin. Tzeinu ochez lo b'rutu v'lo b'ktitza, I shouldn't take it off via the straps or the box. Ad sheitel yodav, right, first he has to wash his hands. And then then he has to take them off. V'pnei sha'yodayim askani yosein, right, the hands move around, right, and they probably touched something that would require a person to wash his hands. Now, how in the world does that happen? So, again, we probably don't really relate to people wearing tefillin all day, although there are some bachrim now, some yeshivas now in the Old City who do have their bachrim wearing tefillin all day. The best way I can explain is that I would imagine it's like, you know, for us, for our yarmulkes nowadays, right? People very often don't pay attention to their yarmulkes, Baruch Hashem. It's kind of just on their heads. I've definitely more than once been like, anybody see my yarmulke? And my kids are like, yeah, it's on your head. So that's definitely possible. So I'd imagine, again, when you wore tefillin all day, it just kind of like became that type of thing. And so, you know, people didn't realize, and that's how it could lead to that. That's the best way I can think to explain it. Okay, we'll stop here at the Mishnah. We'll go right through the Hilchos tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.